Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everyone. We greet you in that matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord is worthy to be praised. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we all shall rejoice and be glad in it. I want to welcome you one and all tonight to our weekly Pastoral Connect Bible study and prayer. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is Tuesday, July 20th in the year 2021. This is the week leading up to our International Holy Convocation of the Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith Incorporated, which actually begins tomorrow night, and we are so very excited about that. But aside from that, we are excited about being here with you all tonight to lift up the name of Jesus, to share with you the Word of God that the Lord has put upon our hearts, and to pray with you, believing God that there is room for power in your life. There's room. He's making room for some changes. He's making room for some mighty works. He's making room for some great breakthroughs. And I'm just excited tonight because one of the things that the Lord put in my spirit is that he's making room for somebody. There's somebody on this line tonight in our lesson, in our study, and the Lord is making room for you. This word that we're going to go through tonight is underscoring some foundational truths that are going to be crucial for you as you understand just how much the Lord is making room for you. The Bible says that your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great men. We don't have to try to muscle our way into anything, because God has already made room for us. And tonight, as we go through this journey of our lesson, I'm believing God that he's about to reveal some things and strengthen you, build you up in your faith, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you, we thank you, we exalt your name on high. Yes, we declare and we decree that this is the day you have made. We declare and decree no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We declare, we decree that you have anointed us for effectiveness even in this season, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray, Lord God, that you will bless your people, strengthen us tonight, even as we go through this portion of study in your word. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for what you have established. I thank you for what you have put in place in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for thy word. Truly have we hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We love you. We bless you. We praise your name and thank you in advance. Lord, I speak over this crowd. I speak over this audience. I speak over these precious souls right now. Let your name be exalted as we trust you for greater works in our lives. This we commit into ourselves into your hands, and we trust you. Do what you want to do in us, Lord. Teach us and we will obey. Reveal to us the areas of our lives where we need to yield ourselves more to you. Lord, and in the spirit of obedience, we say yes to your will right now. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am getting ready to start the slideshow, and I want to encourage you in the name of the Lord to pay close attention as we share with you what the Lord put in our hearts tonight. in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask if you would, somebody, please let me know whether or not you're able to see what's being shared on the screen. Praise the name of God. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Well, tonight is a night of review. We have covered much ground, and we're at the point where we are more than a half year into 2021. And one of the things that the Lord impressed upon my heart was that it is important for us, as we approach the study of God's word, to not just run through his word, but to truly study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, not that there's going to be an exam. I don't want anybody to be taken aback by the thought of an exam and the necessity of preparation. But I do feel that it's important to do a high-level review of where we have covered thus far. For some, it may be a review, and others, it might be an introduction of sorts. Nevertheless, I want to take the opportunity to go through this with you in the name of the Lord. The first thing that I want to share with you are the foundational scriptures for this year. Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. As you know, the Lord has impressed upon our hearts that this is a year where it shall be done in 21. He guided me to these verses. I saw the interesting and profound synergy between each of these verses as it relates to the theme that he put in my spirit for you, not just for me, but for you. It's imperative that you understand what God's word has to say about getting things done. And I think that it is poetically beautiful how that there is an interesting thread that runs throughout the scriptures as it relates to this specific season. There is a bit of prophecy in this. There's a bit of prophetic fulfillment in this. And I want you to not miss that point. I want you to see this. And I want you to understand this, and I want you to embrace it and be reminded of it. And so Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. I wonder if I can get a volunteer on the line to read these verses. I want this to be lodged in. I want this to be available for those that may not be with us tonight as they listen to this recording. I want this to be within their spirits. Praise the name of God. So I'm going to ask for some volunteers. I see. I need you all to send your comments to everyone so that everyone will be able to see who has responded, etc. Dr. Marbury has responded for Matthew. I'm going to need a volunteer to read Ephesians and then a volunteer to read Romans in the name of the Lord. Sister Tinley, thank you for Romans and Junior Deacon Austin for Ephesians. Perfect. Let's get to it. Dr. Marbury, and then immediately after Junior Deacon Austin and immediately after Missionary Bernadette Tinley. God bless you. Let's get to reading. We're recording this. And so this is going to be heard into the ears of those who will listen to this lesson. And this word will change their lives. Proceed, please.
And Matthew's 20, 20 to 21. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thy removed, and be thy cast into the sea, it shall be done.
Ephesians 3.
Yep, go ahead.
Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20, 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen. Thank you so much. This is the foundation upon which we built everything thus far for this year. The second aspect, we talked about SMART goals. We talked about the importance of identifying goals so that we could live lives that were driven by purpose, not driven by seasons, not driven by emotions, not driven by feelings, but driven by purpose. And as people that live as such, it's important for us to understand the power of goals and goal setting. So this is kind of like a little bit of a pop quiz. And so I'm going to ask for volunteers, and I just need you to do one letter at a time. I know that some of you may have mastered this. And because SMART, the word SMART, S-M-A-R-T, is actually an acronym, and each one of those letters describes one of the five characteristics of a SMART goal. Sometimes we set goals and they're not set or structured very well. And because the structure of the goal is not well, then typically those goals don't get met. And sometimes we don't even understand why. Well, a part of the reason why is because it's just simply not structured properly. The acronym SMART was derived to assist you and others for putting together goals that could be effective and goals that could really be attained. And so I need five volunteers tonight to unmute and to say what each of these letters mean. Somebody for S. What does S mean as a SMART goal? What's the letter S stand for?
Specific.
Very good. Thank you so much. S stands for specific. M, please.
Measurable.
Very good. It needs to be something that can be measured. That's the way you'll know that it was able, that it was done. You have to be able to have evidence to say that you have completed it and to be able to see your progress toward completion. Very good. A? And a hush falls over the crowd.
Achievable.
Amen. Achievable or attainable. It needs to be something that can be reasonably accomplished. We want to make it something that is within our reach. In some cases, you may need to develop new skills to be able to do it. And perhaps the goal is to develop the skill itself. But what's important is that you do want it to be something that's attainable, that's realistically attainable. Okay. Thank you so much, Mother. R, what does R stand for?
Can I answer, Bishop?
Sure. I wanted somebody else. I wanted another volunteer, but it sounds like Mother T is on a roll tonight. Go ahead, Mother. You go ahead.
Realistic.
Okay. Realistic or relevant. What's important here is that it's actually relevant. So relevant has to do with if it applies to your life. It should align with your values and your long-term objectives. So relevant. But that's good, though. Realistic is kind of like a part of the explanation for the A, which is attainable. But R actually speaks to the issue of relevancy. So your goals, it's important. If your goal doesn't align with your values and long-term objectives, then either you need to reevaluate the goal or you need to reevaluate your values and long-term objectives. So there needs to be a connection. There needs to be an overlap between the goal and what's important in your life. All right, thank you. And T, what does T stand for?
Time specific.
Thank you. Or time based. It's got to be something that has a certain amount of time attributed to it. And so, SMART goals, as a high level summary, and for those of you that may be taking pictures of the screen and that kind of thing, I wanted to put something there for you to have a visual reference point. It must be specific, must be something that can be measured, must be achievable, okay, or attainable, must be relevant to you and your life, must be something that can be reasonably done within the time allotted. Very good. Let's go on. As we talked about getting things done, one of the things that we spent some time teaching you about is understanding and identifying progress blockers, things that get in the way of your progress. Sometimes the considering the level of difficulty may cause people to back up from a thing. Sometimes the issue is challenges of unbelief. They don't believe in themselves, or sometimes they don't believe what God has told them. And so they are challenged with unbelief. Number three speaks to the issue of personal insecurity. For the benefit of those that are listening, I'll share the scriptures that go along with these blockers. So for the first progress blocker, it's Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 through 16. And again, that's the level of difficulty. And sometimes people allow the level of difficulty to cause them to back up. Well, consider Noah was given a charge to build something that had never been seen before. God gave it to him, gave him the specifics, and God gave him the strength and the wisdom to put it together. Consider Moses leading a nation of people. He was a man that grew up in a very small family. God used his mother in a brilliant way to preserve his life, to build something that, I don't know that it's ever been built before, but whatever it was, this is truly one of those examples where necessity is the mother of invention. And I want to speak this over somebody on this line who has an entrepreneurial spirit that's going to be able to come up with an invention that's going to change their lives forever. Praise the name of God. There's somebody on this line that needs to hear you to go forward with that entrepreneurial idea. So level of difficulty, Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 through 16, and some examples in the scriptures that we are very aware of. Joshua was given a charge to lead the people of Israel after Moses passed away up against a nation in Jericho and to walk around the walls. And who would have thought that walking around those impregnable walls would have resulted in those walls coming down? Level of difficulty. It may be too hard for you, but it sure ain't too hard for God. It is not too hard for God. Number two, Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. The progress blocker there is unbelief. And so again, sometimes people let unbelief of themselves, unbelief in God get in the way. And that will block your progress, no doubt. If you look at yourself and the ability that you have, and sometimes even your resources and skills and background, yeah, you can talk yourself out of the blessing. The devil is a liar. So let's understand these progress blockers and let's get them in their proper place, like behind us or under our feet. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 33 is the third progress blocker. Personal insecurity. You may remember that Gideon was called by God to do to lead the people of God against their enemies and to be a leader amongst them. And the last thing Gideon was thinking about was leading an army of people against an army whose numbers were, as far as he was concerned, innumerable. You may remember Jehoshaphat. In the Old Testament as well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when he and the people of Jerusalem, of Judah and the tribe of Judah, they were surrounded by their enemies. And it was three nations that outnumbered them. And Jehoshaphat understood the enormity of the situation and the fact that it was beyond his control. And he said, I don't know what to do. He had the people praying and fasting. And the king said, I don't know what to do. But he had the wisdom and the sense enough to say, but my eye is on you. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 33. Personal insecurity will block your progress, but you got to understand that God is on your side. You may also remember the 12 spies that were sent in by Moses to Canaan to spy out the land, how that 12 were sent in. These were leading men. These were leading individuals from each of the 12 tribes. And only two of them came back after having seen the land and the good of the land and the strength of the land. 10 of them came back and said, we can't do this. This is too much for us. They were depending on themselves. You may remember that their analysis was that in their eyes, they felt like grasshoppers compared to the people that inhabited Canaan. And so you got to be careful because, yeah, it may be out of your hands, but it's not out of God's. I'm going to say that one more time. The circumstance may be out of your hands, maybe too much for you to handle, but it's not too much for your God. Number four, lack of dependability and faithfulness. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. You've got to be careful. Your personal dependability and faithfulness will play into your progress. And people who are not dependable and not faithful, that will hurt their progress. And so truly, one of the passages of the New Testament speaks of those who have been entrusted with a task, that if they're not able to be dependable to complete a task, who will give them something of their own? If they can't even handle a responsibility through delegation, why will someone give them something that they have ownership of? And so the whole idea of even the talents that were given, you know, that one in one case, one person received one talent, another person received three talents, another person received five talents. And the commentary is this, and you all know the story, that the one that had five talents on the day of accounting and the day of reckoning, the one that had five talents came back and said, I have taken the five you've given me and I've made five more. And the one that had three talents came back similarly. I've taken the three that you've given me and I've made three more. And their commendation was, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They were commended for their work and they were commended for their productivity. But the one that had gotten the one, they basically said, I know that you were a hard person to work with. I know that you had high demands. I know that you had high expectations, and I was afraid. And I took the one you gave me, and I buried it under the earth, and I put a rock on it. I buried it because I wanted to secure it. And here is the one that you gave me. I'm giving it right back to you. And that servant was condemned. They were judged and called wicked because they were not dependable in terms of being fruitful. And so you got to understand the Lord is looking for productivity, not excuses. And so be careful. Prove yourself dependable. Prove yourself faithful, not just in a moment, but a consistency of it. And God will bless that in the name of the Lord. Number five, fear is a progress blocker. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24 through 27, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And fear brings torment. It will paralyze people in the progress, in the process of making progress. Fear will paralyze in the process of making progress. And clearly, it's a blocker. And the final thing is sin. Proverbs chapter 28, this is number six, sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, and Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. Sin is a progress blocker. You cannot play with sin and expect God to bless your progress. You cannot play with sin. And some people think that just because folks don't see you, that God won't judge it. Well, I'm so glad that the judgment of God is not left up to man under no circumstances. God sees and knows all things. And what's done in the dark will come out in the light. And I'm so grateful to God that his mercy endures forever. But whoever covers up his sins cannot prosper. You cannot prosper. But if you confess it and you forsake it, then you will find mercy. And I'm so grateful to God that mercy is still available. Praise the name of God. If you confess it and forsake it. So it's not even just confessing it. Some people, they are quick to say, I'm sorry, but they keep on sinning. You got to get out of sin. You got to get out of that mess. And I'm so grateful to God that it's not by our power that we can overcome sin, but by the power of the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside. When we let him, when we let God have his way with us, his power will make us what we ought to be. Christ's blood will cleanse our hearts and set us free. God's love will fill our soul, and we will see that it was best to let God have his way. Some of you are not making progress because you're playing with sin. You're entertaining sin, and you cannot progress and play with sin. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. The next thing that we talked about was progressing through pain. And when I was thinking about some of the things that I needed to rehearse with you and bring back to your remembrance, this was one of the most powerful lessons that came back to my spirit. That because just because we're experiencing pain, discomfort, distress, issues in our lives, it doesn't mean that we put our lives on hold. We can progress through the pain. Now, it doesn't mean that we ignore it. It doesn't mean that we make light of it. It doesn't mean that we act like it doesn't exist. One of the reasons why some people can't get healed is because they can't accept the fact that they're sick. Oh, God, they can't experience a breakthrough because they're not really recognizing that they're dealing with a stronghold. You cannot have a breakthrough unless there is a stronghold, and you cannot be free from what you don't confess. You've got to confess and forsake it. Expose the devil. Expose it. Expose it. Don't cover it up. It's like the man that had a withered hand. As long as he kept that withered hand covered, it stayed withered. Can you imagine? That man's hand was not healed until he stretched it out. He had to expose it. It wasn't somebody exposing him. He had to expose it himself. Oh, glory to God. The Holy Spirit is talking to somebody on this line. You can progress, but you got to stretch out. Stretch out and trust the Lord. Stretch out and believe God. Stretch out and know that God is going to be with you. And so progressing through the pain gave you 20 verses of scripture. Ah, God, because I know that the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So I needed to give you many scriptures to go along with that, because for every pain is a promise. For every pain you go through, there's a promise. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I said, for every pain you go through, there's a promise. God has a promise for you. And you need to know the word. This is not magic. And people that don't make the word a priority are fooling themselves. You are not going to be effective in your Christian walk if all you do is just read this, read that, listen to this, listen to that, listen to some gospel music and have a worship at home. You know, that's all well and good. You got to put this word in your spirit. You got to put this word in your spirit. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's good to hear the word, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the word not mixed with faith will profit you nothing. In other words, you may hear the word and you may know the word, but the question is, are you living the word? Hey, glory to God, because it's life. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing, The word I speak is life. His word is life-giving. And when you take what was spoken by the Lord and you apply it to your life, you are bringing John 10:10 into activation in your life. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come. Mm-hmm. Whoo! I am come. When Jesus comes, you've got to let him in. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You may be introduced to him, but have you let him in? Is he in? Is he in your house? Is he in your home? Is he in your apartment? Does he have free course? Is he a visitor or is he a resident? Hey, glory to God. You can't treat the Lord like a visitor and expect to be blessed like he's living on the inside. You can't even entertain sin. You can't let sin live with you and expect God to pay the rent. You can't expect sin to be a part of your home experience and then you want God to pay the mortgage. Not so. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me bring it in here. Glory to God. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. We shared this statement with you throughout the lessons, and I want to reiterate it back to you again. The capacity of your faith is determined by how much of the word in that area you have heard, received, and acted upon. I'm going to say that one more time. The capacity of your faith, so the strength of your faith, the ability of your faith, the scope or the all-inclusiveness of your faith, the power of your faith is determined by how much word in that area you have heard, received, and acted upon. So, for example, you have to hear the word about salvation. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And so how shall they hear without the preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? The good tidings of salvation is an announcement. It is a declaration. It is an articulation. It is spoken to you by words. God used words to create this world. The message of salvation and deliverance preached or taught through words. You have received those words and taken those words and acted on those words by faith. So you heard it, you received it, you acted on it, and you repented of your sins, were baptized in the water in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and went on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. So you took that word and acted on it, and the result is that you're saved. The same thing that you did for salvation, you need to do for healing. You need to hear the word of healing. Most of us know he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Ah, God, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yes, Jesus paid it all. My God, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, he took upon him our sicknesses and diseases. You've heard the word. The question is, do you receive that word? Do you believe that word? And are you acting on that word? Now, a part of the acting on the word of healing can be manifested in how much and the kind of food you eat. Because sometimes the reason why people are sick is because of what they put in their mouth. So you can't have faith for healing and then eat recklessly. It won't work. It's just like saying that I have faith for salvation, but I won't repent. I have faith for salvation, but I still keep going to the places where my flesh is weak and I fall in sin. Well, you need to stop going to places that your flesh will fall into sin. And, you know, of course, somebody's going to say, well, suppose that's at work. Well, then maybe you need to ask God to open up a door for you for another job. And people will make excuses all the time. So there's plenty of excuses, but there's really only one way. And that way is Jesus. Jesus is the example. He is the perfect example. And his word provides the answer to every issue of life. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. You can't get better than that. His word is forever settled in heaven. And there's nothing is going to change his word. The worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things that are made of things that don't exist, that are not seen. The things that are seen are made of things that are not seen. Come on now. This is nothing but the power of God's word. And so you got to take that word in that area and apply it to your life. So, for example, if you're dealing with sexual sins or temptation in the flesh, you got to understand what the word of God says as it relates to presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How are you serving God? If you are busy serving God, you'll have less time to serve the devil. If you are busy serving God, you'll have less time to serve your flesh. Sometimes people's flesh is in the way because they're idle. They're not doing anything, sitting around waiting for something to happen, and then they fall into sin. Well, because the idle mind is the devil's workshop. We knew that before you spoke in tongues. You knew that was true. But to God's glory, he's given us something to do. Because everyone that has the Holy Spirit has at least one spiritual gift. And when you discover what that spiritual gift is, that will help you along the road of your purpose. And even if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, the Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it. Help out, find a way to help. Offer your services. Everybody on this line is good at something. Oh God, I feel that in my spirit. I said, everybody on this line is good at something. Hey, offer that something to God. Offer that something to your pastor. Offer that something to your first lady. Offer that something to your auxiliary leader. There is something you can do. Yes, it is. And so, again, the capacity of your faith is determined by how much of the word in that area you have heard, received, and acted upon. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jude tells us, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen. Paul tells us in Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's power in you. My God, I wish you would put that in your notes. There is power in me. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You shall have power. And I'm saying this because you got power to produce. You got power to produce. Your relationship with God through spiritual regeneration brings liberty. And I want to share this with you because this is so important. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I felt compelled in my spirit to remind you all about this tonight. Number one, your relationship with God through spiritual regeneration brings liberation. You've got to walk with God. And as you walk with the Lord, there is a transformation that takes place. Number two, your walk with God will make this benefit a reality. Sometimes people, they talk about the benefits of salvation. Talk about the benefits of walking by faith and not by sight. And one of the things that I think is so important for people to understand is that there's no magic here. This is not about a magic trick. It's not some kind of a hallucination. And you've got to understand, we need to walk in peace. We need to walk in unity. We need to walk in fellowship. And so that Romans verse, I have to double check that because it looks like there's something that's missing on number two. For those that are looking on the screen, I don't remember what that, honestly speaking, I don't remember what the chapter is before verses 12 through 18. But I do see that there's a bit of a typo there. And quite honestly, it could very well be Romans chapter 12, verse 12 through 18, because what it talks about there in that passage of scripture is how we ought to work together, like the practical application of walking with God. And so I'm going to go there and I'm just going to put that right in front. So that is chapter 12, verse 12 through 18. I think the sharing stopped. Let me get it back up in front. Please let me know if you can see it now. Please let me know if you can see it. Are you all able to see the screen? The change that was just made? Okay, great. Thank you. Number three, we are called to lift each other. Walking with God is not walking by ourselves. It's walking with God and it's walking with each other. And so it's very important that you understand that the way you relate to each other matters to God. Your vertical relationship must affect your horizontal relationship. Vertical is going up and down. Horizontal is going left to right, like horizon. Okay. And so your vertical relationship, the relationship between you and God, up and down, must be reflected in your relationship horizontally between you and others. And so understand, we are called to lift each other. By no means are we called to step on each other. God help us. Another thing that I shared with you all is the foundation for a strong understanding of the doctrines of Christ. The doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of the apostles. This is extremely important because we're living in a day where people are questioning doctrinal relevance. And what that basically means is that there are those who have the opinion that as long as I love everybody and I treat my neighbor right, I treat people right, that's all that the Lord is requiring of me, you know, to love mercy, walk humbly, love mercy, you know, that kind of thing. And that's all that God wants of me. And I don't really need to do all this other stuff because it don't take all of that. I believe and I know that God wants us to do justly. I know he wants us to love mercy, and I know he wants us to walk humbly with him. But when it comes down to understanding the necessity of a doctrinal foundation, oh yes, it takes all of that, because that's, you can't build upon something where there's no foundation. And this is one of the reasons why some people's lives are being blocked, because they're trying to build without a foundation. They're trying to build without a foundation. Your foundation has to be God's word. You've got to build your life on the foundation of God's word. And so as your watchman, it is incumbent upon me, it is of necessity for me to share with you what this foundation entails. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2, we talked about the doctrinal foundation, the doctrine that the Apostle Paul shared with the saints, the Hebrew Christians, that are is applicable to the Gentile Christians, is applicable to the church as a whole. The doctrine of perfection, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. These seven areas of doctrinal truths are crucial. They speak to not only what we have in God now, but our eternal security forevermore. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 2, that was the scripture text we used for that when we taught that lesson. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 45 through 47 speaks of the doctrines of Christ, which are the doctrines of the apostles. And this is what the Lord shared with them. And this is what the apostles practice: fellowship, breaking of bread or holy communion, the doctrine of prayers, the doctrine of hospitality, the doctrine of giving, parting their possessions and giving, going from house to house with hospitality, the spirit of hospitality, and the praise life, praising God. These doctrinal points are crucial because this is the substance. This is the substrata upon which we build everything else. People that are shaky in these areas will be shaky in their walk with God. You've got to understand these things as you mature. Now, of course, coming in, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, starting your walk off with God, some of these things you may not know. Some of these things I didn't know when I first started off as a 12-year-old walking with God. But as they were put before me, I accepted it. And so I am putting it before you so that you understand and know. And we've taught these to you. And I felt, again, compelled to rehearse this with you so that you can see this, so that you can understand the importance of a sure foundation. You've got to have a sure foundation. You don't want a shaky foundation. 2 John chapter 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And so it's so important. This is not something that's being taught because it may be popular, because oftentimes when you talk about doctrine, it's not popular. But this is the substance of what will keep you in your walk with God. This is the stuff that you need in your spirit to be strong, growing, and productive as a child of God. Seven doctrines of Christ, what we must believe. The seven essentials of holy living, what we must do. Again, the seven doctrines of Christ, what we must believe. And the seven essentials of holy living, what we must do. That's what this list presents before us. These are things we must believe, and then there are things that we must do. The first list talks about things we must believe. The first column from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, what we must believe. And the second column, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 45 through 47, speak to what we must believe. We've got to do. The first column, what we must believe. The second column, what we must do. And the interesting thing is that the first column is the foundation for the second. What we believe will affect what we do. And so the final part that, about this that I wanted to share with you is that you got to put this into practice. And, you know, there's a little homework thing that I shared with you all when we did this first lesson. How can I put into practice the seven doctrines of Christ? How can I put into practice the seven essentials of holy living? Well, because the way to do it is to look at each one of those doctrines because of the doctrine of, let's just say, the doctrine of repentance from dead works. I will, and you will, turn your back to the sins of your past. You know, you will stop. There may be some phone numbers and some contact information you need to take out of your cell phone. There may be some numbers you need to erase. There may be some pictures you need to get rid of. You might need to do a spring cleaning on your computer. God help us. Because of the doctrine of baptisms. Okay, there may be somebody that's struggling on this line right now about being baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we talk to you about that baptism, how that is so important, because you have to be born again. And that new birth experience, a part of that new birth experience is being baptized in the water as well as baptized in the Spirit. So it's very important. How do I put into practice the seven essentials of holy living? Well, if we talk about fellowship, breaking of bread, how do I can practice fellowship? By being faithful in my church attendance, by being on time, by being prepared, by turning on my camera like the pastor has asked. How can I practice the breaking of bread? Well, to be prepared for Holy Communion, to understand, to read scripture that relates to the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, to understand more about it. That's how you put these things into practice. Finally, I want to encourage every one of you. Every week when we come together, we've had a moment of prayer with prayer leaders represented from the men, the women, and the youth ministry. And this is a voluntary rotation. One of the things that was done, or one of the rationales behind this, is that the way to learn to pray is to pray. And I want you to be bold prayers. I want you to pray with power and fervency. I want you to learn how to articulate your prayers, because you will have whatsoever you say. There are some that are dealing with breakthroughs or stronghold issues, and I want you to open your mouth against those things. I want you to pray against those progress blockers. I want you to embrace what God has said concerning you, that you are able to do things that the devil has said you can't do. I want you to open your mouth and speak the word in your prayer. I want you to learn scripture to add to your prayer, so that when you're praying the word of God. This is practice. Yes, indeed. This is dress rehearsal, but it's not just that. This is power to bring a miracle to pass, because those who pray can expect a miracle. And if you want a miracle, you got to expect a miracle, and you've got to be bold enough to confess it out of your mouth. You need to learn how to let the words flow out of your mouth, out of your spirit. This is not something that you need to write down per se and practice and study. You talk to your friend. God is your friend. Talk to him like a friend. Talk to him like a loving father. And so, beloved, tonight, I am so grateful to God for having this opportunity to review this with you, because I don't want to go any further until you understand the importance of what we've just covered. And I'm going to pause for a moment, because I do believe that there may be questions tonight on the line. And before we go into the prayer, I do want to give space for you who are listening. If there are any questions, I will pause at this time to receive questions. I will unpause. It seems as if there may not be any questions. Maybe people are just wrapped in thought, and that's fine. Bless your heart. We are getting ready. Lord Bishop. Yes, God bless you, Sister Marbury.
You say power, the power of prayer changes your heart. And all through this lesson, I listen to everything you say, and I'm so grateful. And thank you. Thank God for you and Jesus and the people that pray. The power of prayer is so strong that it, like you said, you have to believe and it's done and speak it. And that's what I did since last Thursday. They said I had something wrong with my eye, the retina. And I just prayed and I was fasting and praying. And then when I went to that doctor today and he took the pictures of my eyes and stuff like that, and he couldn't believe, he said, oh, Ms. Marbury, he paused and he said, oh, Miss Marbury, pause. And I said, yeah. He said, there's nothing there. There's no swelling. There's nothing there. And I just start praising the Lord in the chair, saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And he just looked at me. So the power of prayer, I thank God for you, Bishop, that with the teaching that you're teaching us, and I abide by what you say, and I howl out to the Lord all during the day, the fasting on Tuesday that you have us on, and the power of prayer is mighty. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony, Sister Marbury. The scriptures declare that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Somebody needs to hear tonight that God knows how to fix your vision. He can do it. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Glory to God. God bless you. I will pause again if anyone has something they want to share or a question they want to ask. Glory to God. Bless your hearts.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bless your heart.
Hallelujah.
Bless your heart.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to turn now to the prayer leaders and give them space to pray. We're going to ask our prayer leaders to come in fervency and an anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Men praying over the men. Women praying over the women, young people praying over their peers and young people, each group representing that group and praying a breakthrough prayer, a mighty prayer, an anointed prayer on behalf of that group. Let the prayer leaders come forth, our brothers, the men, our sisters, the women, and our young people over the young people in that order in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you today. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For this is the day, Lord God, that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad. Lord, we say thank you right now, Lord God, for your mercy upon our on the men's lives. We say thank you today, Lord God, for keeping us, Lord God, in the name of this. We say thank you today, Lord God, that if it had not been for you, Lord God, looking after us, if it had not been for you protecting us, if it had not been for you, keeping us from hurt, harm, and danger, Lord God, where would we be? We'd be in hell right now, waiting to be thrown into the lake of fire. But Lord, we say thank you tonight, Lord God, for your mercy. We say hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We just say thank you tonight, Lord God, hallelujah, for your grace and your mercy. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, hallelujah, for your grace, Lord God, and your mercy, Lord God. And that's even right now, Lord God, to strengthen the men, Lord God. In the name of you, there are those, Lord God, that might be wrapped in sin. There might be those going through depression, Lord God. There might be those that have health challenges, Lord. They might be those, Lord God, that have a battle going on in the mind. They might have those who may have marriage issues, issues with their children, issues on their job. Issues, just issues, Lord. But Lord, we plead the blood right now, Lord Jesus, the blood that you set upon Calvary, Lord God. We know if we boldly come to the throne of grace, Lord God, we can obtain mercy, Lord. Lord God, if we come to you, Lord, confessing our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us, Lord God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we even ask right now, Lord, that whatever we've done, Lord God, those things that weren't pleasing in your sight, any filthy communication, any filthy words that came out of our mouth, Lord, any thoughts that we entertained, Lord God, that didn't glorify you, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord. Lord, cleanse us with the blood that you shed upon Calvary, that even though our sins may be dirty as filthy rags, Lord, but because of the blood that you shed upon Calvary, Lord, you'll make it white as snow, Lord. We ask you to renew us, Lord God. to strengthen us, Lord. Lord, that we may become bold men, not bold in ourselves, but bold in you, bold in your word, bold in how we proclaim your word, bold in how we minister your word, bold in our testimonies, bold how we preach your word, Lord, bold, strong men. Lord, you were the boldest of them all. You stood against every opposition that came to you, Lord God. And you died on the cross, bearing all our sins, Lord. But you rose again, and you were coming back in true glory. You're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to meet you in the air. We're in the last days. As we look upon the news, we see the violence. We see the disease running rampant. We see all kinds of craziness going on. And Lord, we need you right now. We need you right now, Lord God. We need you right now. So I ask you to prick the hearts of those men, Lord God. Prick it, Lord God, that they may turn and give their lives to you, Lord God, before it's too late, Lord God. As long as we have breath in our lives, as long as we have breath in our body, we still have a chance to come to that throne. We still have a chance to come and bow down before you. We still have a chance to come and just and give our lives to you, Lord God. Lord, we say thank you right now for that chance, Lord. We say thank you right now, Lord God, for your blood. We say thank you right now, Lord God, because you love us so, Lord God. You love us so, Lord God. Even if it was for one person, you went to the cross for that one man. And we say thank you tonight, Lord God. So continue to look upon the men, Lord God. And we say thank you, Lord. We believe you and we trust you, Lord God, for what you're about to do in the lives of the men, Lord God. We just bless your name tonight, Lord. We say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We lift up our voices right now and just say hallelujah, Lord God. We just say thank you right now. We're being merciful. Look upon our families. Look upon our wives. Look upon our children, our nieces and nephews. Look upon our homes and our jobs, Lord God. Look upon us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Heavenly Father, oh God, you are indeed mighty. You are indeed worthy to be praised and worthy, oh God, to be lifted up and exalted. And oh Father, even now and tonight, oh God, we bring, oh Lord, every woman unto you, Lord Jesus. You know every need, oh God, of every woman. You know, dear God, every desire of each woman, oh God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would have your way. I pray in the name of Jesus, that your mercy, oh God, will continue, oh God, to be in our lives. Heavenly Father, right now, oh God, we need you. We exalt you and we magnify you, oh God, because you alone deserve the glory. Oh Lord Jesus, right now, God, you said in your word to trust in you with all our heart and lean not upon our own understanding. You said in your word that, God, that in all of our ways, oh God, that we should acknowledge you, oh God, and that you will direct our path. So, God, every need that we have, oh God, once we put you first, oh God, once you really, oh God, trust in you and lean on you and acknowledge you and anything that we do,
pray, God, that you, oh God, will make a way, oh Lord Jesus. And even now, Lord,
Father God, I thank you for this time that we had to understand and to learn about your word. Lord God, that your presence is even here on this call right now. I thank you, oh God, for the prayers that have already gone forth. Lord, I thank you for Bishop as he taught us this night, oh God, reviewed the words that he's taught us, oh God, that we have substance in our souls, that we are not just here eating spiritual candy, oh God. We are here eating spiritual soul food, things that will stick to us, that will sustain us, Lord God. That in the things that happen in our lives, Lord, that we are not tossed to and fro, Lord, but our roots are grounded in you and in your word. God, I pray over the young people right now that they listen to every lesson that is taught and it sits in their heart. Lord, just like the word says, as we hide the word in our heart, we will not sin against you, Lord God, that they understand how to progress through pain, that they don't ask questions and say, Lord, you never told me. Lord, I was never taught. But we have listening ears to hear and understand the word of God and apply it to our lives, that we know that trials will come and that storms will come. But as young people, even though we are young, we can still push through the pain, push through the discomfort, oh God, push through the struggles, oh God, because you are with us, because your strength is with us, and we are more than conquerors. We are who your word says we are. We are not young people like the world says, oh God, people who don't listen, people who don't obey their parents, people who are unruly. We are young people for Christ. I pray over them right now that their souls will be intertwined with yours, that their hearts will be after yours, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they won't just be hearers of the word, oh Lord, but they will be doers of the word, that the word will be seeped so deeply inside of them that it will come out through their actions, oh God. That they just won't act on faith, but they will put actions behind that faith. As we are taught, oh God, you have taught us through your word that faith without works is dead. So I pray over the young people right now that they understand and they have that fire behind them to put actions behind their faith. If they want to graduate from high school, if they want to graduate from college, if they want degrees, oh God, if they want a mind of an entrepreneur, Lord, if they want a mind to help their families, oh God, they put action behind that faith. They put action behind their trust in you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If they don't want to be depressed anymore, oh God, if they don't want to be alone and sad anymore, they put action behind that faith, oh God, even if it's a therapist, oh Lord, even if it's just speaking your word out of their mouth, that they put action behind what is inside of their hearts. Lord, I pray also that they let you have free reign in their lives, oh God. That they don't just show up on Sundays and clap their hands and wear the proper church clothes. And on Monday through Saturday, they are different people. Father God, we want you in our lives completely. We want you in our hearts completely, oh God. We want to be surrounded by you, even in our homes, oh God. As people go back to their homes after service and they act different, oh God. Everywhere we go, they want, Lord, everywhere that we go, we want people to know that we are for you 100% of the time, whether if it's in the church building, whether if it's at school, if it's at a job, oh God, even if it's in our households, that we still uphold the same standard of holiness every single place that we go. Because, oh God, you are not just a side friend. You are not just someone we casually understand and casually know and see. But Lord, you are someone important to our lives. So even when sin comes around, even when distractions come around, even when temptations come around, it's not just that we say no to sin, no to drugs, no to temptation. It's no because I serve a God. No, because I don't want to hurt my Lord's feelings, because he is the lover of my soul and I care so much for him that I won't do anything to displease him, that I won't do anything to hurt him, because we care for you. Father God, we thank you that we have a Father who is in heaven. Lord, you are so holy and you watch over us. We thank you, Lord, that even when people turn their backs on young people, that we have someone who cares for us, that we are never left alone and never left without. I thank you, oh Lord, for each and every one of the young people, that they have purpose in their lives, oh God. I speak to their purpose right now, that their purpose will stand up, that their gifts and talents will stir up inside of them, and they won't be stagnant in their lives. They won't be stagnant in their spirit, but they will be stirred up in the name of Jesus. I thank you for these things, oh God. I thank you that we will put these teachings into practice, how we speak to one another, how we love one another, how we handle situations and problems. We won't just hear the word of God and let it go out the other ear,
but it will be a part of our everyday lives. And I pray against every blocker right now in the name of Jesus. Every person that's blocking the young people, every emotion that is blocking them, every demon that is blocking them, I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every boy that is around our girls, oh God, that is no good for them, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Every girl that is trifling and not supposed to be with our men of God, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Every person that comes and puts ill will words in the ears of our young people, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. They will live and they will not die. They will prosper and be in good health in the name of Jesus. I speak the promises of the Lord upon them right now. Hallelujah. That everywhere their feet tread, oh God, that their heart is for you, that their will is, that your will is happening in their lives. Hallelujah. I pray over them right now that they would do amazing things. Lord, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered even into their own hearts what you have called them to do. The amazing success and places that you will take them to, oh God, but not for their glory, not for their name to be known, oh God, not for their statuses to be higher, not for their friends to be increasing, oh God, not for more likes on Instagram or Facebook or social medias, oh God, but to give you glory. Hallelujah. That our lives of young people, our lives to give you glory, that even in this time that we are young, Lord, we use our strength for you. We use our fervency and our passion for you, oh God, in this time, Lord, that we hear the wisdom of the old, of the elders, oh God, but our strength will be used for your glory to build up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray over the young people right now, oh God, and I cover them. I cover each and every one of them, oh God. Hallelujah. Every young person that is a part of Beulah Tabernacle, a part of New Gen, oh God, even the young people that are not, Lord, even the ministers, oh God, every single young person that is trying to understand their calling, whether if it's calling, oh God, to a mic, whether if it's calling, oh God, to serve, whether, oh God, it's calling to be in a kitchen, oh God, to cook food, whatever it is, oh God, if it's to be an engineer, if it's to be a mathematician, if it's to be an astronaut, oh God, I pray over them right now that they understand their calling and that they use their gifts and talents for you, that they are not confused walking around asking, Lord, what do I do? Why am I here? And do I even have a purpose or am I worth it? Father God, I pray that they hear your voice, oh God. Hallelujah. That the young person that is out there right now confused and crying and alone, they understand that someone is praying for them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, many people think back to their praying grandmothers, they're praying mothers, they're praying parents, they're praying aunts. But God, I ask that you give them praying friends in the name of Jesus, that you introduce them to circles of people who are their age, of people who have the same mindset, oh God, who they can connect to, who also want to do your will, Lord, that they don't feel alone, but they feel covered and surrounded by people who want to be with you, that they are encouraged, oh God, hallelujah, that they even find their own village of young people to uplift them and to keep them on the right track, oh God, because spiritual friends are so important, oh Lord. Spiritual friends help us, oh God. They keep us focused, oh God. They keep us in remembrance of what to do and what not to do. They hold us accountable. So, Father God, I pray and I ask right now that you send people their way that can open their hearts to you, that they can hear you clearly, oh God, that when they can't hear their parents, that when they can't hear their spiritual leaders, that their friends are there speaking your word, that their friends are there reminding them of the scriptures, that we are to be different from the world, not different to be ashamed, oh God, but different to be proud. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just like royalty is different from the servants in the house, oh God, we are different and it's okay. Hallelujah, Jesus, I praise you right now because I thank you for the amazing things that are to come. I thank you, oh God, for the princes that are rising up in your kingdom. I thank you, oh God, for the princesses that are rising up in your kingdom. Hallelujah, that they will be saved and filled with your fire, oh God. They will be filled with the Holy Ghost. They will be baptized and turn their lives to you. I thank you, oh God, right now. I praise you in advance, oh Jesus. I praise you in advance, oh God. Hallelujah. Even have your way with me, Lord, that these words won't fall to the ground, that you do your will in my life, oh God, that I may be able to help however that you may see fit, Lord God. Have your way over us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, oh God, for every woman, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, oh God, is glorified in our lives. Right now and tonight, oh God, we lay every woman before you, oh God. You know every need, oh God. You know every struggle, oh God. You know, dear God, what woman needs healing, oh God. And right now, oh Father, we put, oh God, we put each woman into your hands, oh God. We pray, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring forth healing in the lives of your woman. Oh God, emotional healing. Oh God, physical healing. Oh God, mental healing, oh God. Father, you know everything, oh God. You know what we have in need of, oh God. For you said in your word, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our path. Father, you said, oh God, to trust you, to lean upon you. And oh Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we lean on your word. Father, Lord God, believing in you and trusting in you. Father, oh God, I pray, God, that you bring a woman to another level. Oh God, every struggle in every woman's life, oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you, oh God, will take control. That you, oh God, will let your word come alive in the hearts of your women, oh God. Father, Lord God, for we need you, oh God. Father, we cannot do without you, oh God. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, for your strength. We pray, God, for your anointing. We pray, God, for your power to be in the lives of your women, oh God. Oh Father, have your way, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, remove every doubt, remove every fear, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For oh Lord God, we need you, Lord God, and we cannot do without you, oh God. And right now, oh God, we lay before you, oh God, trusting and believing you that your word is true and that you will do a new thing in the lives of your women, oh God. For we believe in you, oh Lord Jesus. And oh God, right now, Lord Jesus, we bring every situation, oh God, before you, oh God. Oh Lord, the next level, dear God, that you want to take your women. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, oh God, will bring forth, hallelujah, the next level, oh God. For we believe you and we trust you. Oh Lord, have your way, oh God, hallelujah. Touch every home, oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh Father, Lord God, let your power, oh God, be in each home, oh God. For we lay it in your hands right now, Lord Jesus. Help us, oh God, as women to do what we need to do, oh God, that will glorify you, oh God. Father, help us, oh God, to not turn to the wrong things, oh God, and to listen to the enemy, oh God, and do his way, oh God. But we want to do your way, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, there's a blessing in obeying, oh God. And we pray, God, to have a heart of obedience, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For we look to you and we trust you. Have your way, oh God. Father, and we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come tonight with joy in our soul. We thank you that your presence is with us right now, and that by your presence we are saturated by your anointing. I thank you for a supernatural saturation in every home right now. Lord, we bless your name. Let there be a release of strength. Let there be a release of encouragement. Let there be a release of healing. Let there be a release of faith in the mighty name of Jesus. We have given your people your word, and tonight we pray in power. We bless you for the breakthrough that's about to take us through. Woo! We bless you, Lord God, for the power of prayer tonight. Lord, you're working on us right now. And so, Father, through this prayer, I declare this decree over everyone listening in the name of Jesus. Be thou free. Be thou authentic. Be thou obedient. Be thou dynamic. Be thou determined. Be thou confident. Be thou holy. Be thou joyful. Be thou hopeful. Be thou loyal. Be thou mature. Be thou reverent. Be thou satisfied. Be thou successful. Be thou committed. Be thou skillful. Be thou decisive. Be thou strong. Be thou ready. Be thou heroic. Be thou diligent. Be thou alert. Be thou equipped. Lord, you spoke your word over us that we should be what you have ordained us to be. And I thank you, oh God, that makes us what we ought to be. Oh God, that has put the power of heaven in our spirits by the Holy Ghost. And you've inspired your apostle to declare that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. Lord, you spoke your word to us, told us to be holy, for you are holy. You told us to be light, because you are light. You told us to be salt in the earth. Oh God, wherever we go, we bring the salt. Hey, we bring the sauce. We bring the fire. We bring the anointing. We bring the flavor. We bring the wisdom of God. Lord God, use us by your power. Hey, as we trust you with your wisdom, Lord, I bless you now. For every man that's listening to this recording, to every man that's listening to this prayer, you know what he's going through, and I'm blessing you right now for a healing, for a cleansing, for a breakthrough right now, for every woman, every sister, hey God, every lady on the line. I bless your name, Father, for you are perfecting them right now. As we listen, as they hear this, as we pray, perfection is upon them now. Lord, we know that we are a work in progress, but we are a work in progress. We are making progress. Lord, I declare it over your women right now. Women with power, women with anointing, women in progress. Lord, for our young people, this is a different age that they're growing up in. It's a different set of circumstances that they find themselves in than even their seniors, Lord, and their parents. Oh, God, but you are the same God, no matter the season. You're the same God, no matter the era. You are a God of mercy. You are a God of grace. You are a God of wisdom. And if they would trust you, they will see you. Oh, God, by the Holy Ghost, as Elisha prayed for Gehazi, oh, God, open the young man's eyes, open the young girl's eyes. As they trust you, they will see you. And as they trust you, they will see you. And so now, Lord, this night, we declare and decree a turnaround will take place. We have reviewed what you gave us. We took a look back as we prepare to move forward. We've got so much to thank you for. You've given us your word. Help us to hide it in our hearts. You've given us your word. Help us to build our lives upon it. You've given us your word. Help us to understand the integrity of it. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall not pass away. And so this night, we come to this part of our coming together after having shared the word through teaching and sealing it with a prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.